I had someone come to me and ask me to get involved with a group of cyber people and scientists and such researching election fraud. And it was somebody, I took his request seriously, and he happened to have been killed the next day in an accident in the fall, were telling me that's the sign. If they're gonna fix something, if they're gonna rig something, you'll see them shut down vote counting. Well, they told me that around October 20th. And what do you know? They did it in six places. And what do you know? The six places are six anchor cities of six swing states. I mean, did they have to write it in neon for us to see it? It's ridiculous. If this gets rigged, and they were worried about some sort of rig, but they thought it would be like they were gonna steal this Senate seat or that congressional seat. No, when they did this thing with the six anchor cities, we all woke up knowing, okay, they've actually just rigged a national election.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Patrick Byrne coming back to the program. I am telling you, he has a book that's called The Deep Rig that is absolutely intriguing. It's what happened with the behind the scenes with the election, and starting from a couple months before the election, he got involved right away with Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn. And you'll hear all the behind the scenes with Rudy Giuliani and with Trump and the White House, and it is really incredible. And then he summarizes what he believes is going on. It brings in the deep state, it brings in China. It is, I read, because he had it published, the first four pages up on his website, and it was like a page turner for me. It was incredible. And I don't get that intrigued in a book very often. So I'm just telling you, this is, you'll learn a lot and stuff I never heard before and that was not out there. And he doesn't really talk about it to that degree, not like how much detail he is. He probably, just because he's probably that much more detailed when he writes versus when he talks. And it's incredible. You gotta get it. It's called The Deep Rig. Anyways, I want to tell you that browsers are now censoring. I've had so many people tell me they can't get to my website, sarahwestall.com, because of they just can't get there. It keeps spinning or whatever. If that happens to you, it's one of two things. It's either your browser is censoring, because now they've come out, Mozilla in particular, come out and saying they're censoring at the browser level, or it's the internet node that is censoring. And so to get around that, you need to download, well, Brave is one of the browsers you can download, the one that is the easiest to get, the Brave browser. If it was at the browser level, you'll be able to get it with just downloading and using the Brave browser. Now, if it's an internet node, now you need to open a secure window on Brave called the Tor window. It's specifically a Tor secure window. And then you'll be able to get around the internet nodes. It could be an internet node that is just a server in a company's space, or it could be a satellite server. It's just a regular internet node where they're blocking certain internet or certain website addresses. So the Tor browser in the Brave browser, do that and you will fix your problems. I'm hearing that not only my website, but also my shows. At times people have problems with my shows not working right. It's kind of incredible how much I'm being targeted. I know other people are too, but my gosh, how much they're targeting me. So get around that. We will get around the censorship. I am determined. And so people need to know what their options are and not let them take away information from you, because that's your birthright. You have your birthright to be able to learn and to grow and to understand, not to keep you ignorant. So don't let them do that to you, and make sure that you have the ability to go wherever you want. Because I'm just, the canary in the coal mine. They're not just going to do it to me. They're going to do it to all sorts of sites. So make sure you're prepared and you can get that Brave browser before they attack them. And you just want to be able to get it and be ready. And I also want to tell you, my Ebonair, my Truth community, is now live. I have about 50 free ebooks up there. I have an exclusive with Jesse Saboter on the 12-year-old ritual. I don't want that to go out everywhere because it's hard. I just don't want people to stumble into that kind of content. So that's up there. Patrick Byrne also sticks around and we talk about what's next. And he gives you his advice on where the country's going and what we need to do, how we need to protect ourselves. That's something that's up on Evernier as well for my members. And for sarahwestall.tv viewers, that's up there too. All my exclusives go up there to sarahwestall.tv and to Evernier. The difference between Evernier is I also have my ebooks and my coupons up there, but you can get either or. Sarahwestall.tv lets you watch it on Roku and the other platforms. So it depends on what you want from it. So anyways, I want to get into this great interview with Patrick Byrne. Hi, Patrick. Welcome back to the program.
Hello, Sarah. It's good to be on again.
You have this amazing book that's out, and I read, were those the first couple chapters up on your website?
Right.
Okay. Are they still up there, or did you take them down?
I basically took those chapters. I wrote the book installment by installment online, but then took them and cut them up and rearranged them and added a bunch of material. So about half of it is up on the website, but a lot more has been added. So I created the book out of about 8 entries on my website.
Oh my God, was that good? Because I read chapters 1 through 4, I believe. I don't know if you have any more up there since then. And I read it all the way through, and it was like a page turner, just, you know. And then when I was done, I was like, oh, it's done. It's kind of like the last episode of a great show. And you're like, wait a minute, I want the next one. Or, you know, they do a cliffhanger at the end of the year. So
it ended up being 9 chapters.
Well, good, because I want to read the rest of it.
It's in like buy the book, $4.95.
Well, it was like a cliffhanger at the end of a great season on a show you love, and then it was over, and I had this like feeling of frustration, but it was so good. I didn't know when I talked to you last time how much was really going on behind the scenes. We heard that amazing story of you at the White House, but there is so much more. And it started right after the election. Can you tell us, give the audience an idea of what started right after the election? Because it became obvious to you and to me and to everybody that the election was rigged. And you
and this is something I was able to bring out a little bit more clearly in the book. It actually started for me 4 months before the election. I had someone come to me and ask me to get involved with a group of cyber people and scientists and such researching election fraud. And it was somebody, I took his request seriously, and he happened to have been killed the next day in an accident. But I kind of felt I owed it to him. He'd made this special trip to ask me to get involved and help on this issue. What I discovered was that there were a group of people who'd been studying this down in Texas, cyber ninjas, I call them, different security consulting firms, because they'd had some nonsense happen in Dallas in 2018. So I really fell in with them for 3 or 4 months and was learning about this. And they were studying and exposing me to the porous security of a lot of the systems that are used in our elections.
Can I ask you, was Laura Presley involved in that?
I don't remember that name.
Because she's somebody I interviewed a couple years ago that actually went to the Texas Supreme Court and won and proved fraud and was working on all sorts of other stuff. So I thought maybe she was involved, but anyways, keep going.
It more like it rings a bell. I think she was mentioned to me. So what was funny was they were telling me that one of the signs of fraud, that these machines had been used in, that there had been scandals around elections where these machines had been used in other countries. Serbia, one African country, and there was one in Philippines, although I think that was more Smartmatic than Dominion. And in those cases, Serbia and the African country, at least, I forget which African country, there was a period where they had shut down the vote counting. There was actually a third country where they had done this, but they had shut down the vote counting. And so these cyber guys who I was with in the fall were telling me that's the sign. If they're going to fix something, if they're going to rig something, you'll see them shut down vote counting. Well, they told me that around October 20th. And so then you get to November 4th, you know, well, what happens November 3rd? They shut down or in one way or another interrupt vote counting in 6 places. And those 6 places happen to be the anchor cities of 6 swing states that if you hijack
so
those
obvious.
States.
Obvious. Okay, yep.
So by you get it? So by 9 a.m. November 4th, that looks so obvious to me. Like, who doesn't see this? You know, they shut down counting. Who the hell ever heard of shutting down counting on and election day. And what do you know? They did it in six places. And what do you know? The six places are six anchor cities of six swing states. I mean, did they have to write it in neon for us to see it? It's ridiculous.
Well, my 19-year-old daughter was freaking out, and she's a computer science student, you know, at a good engineering school, but she was freaking out and like, Mom, this is so obvious. And she was showing me charts and all sorts of stuff. It's so obvious.
Yeah. And then when you dig into, well, what happened when they shut down, there's really a 5-hour period around the country, but a 3-hour different time zones. And when they shut down, what do you know, there are these spikes where they inject 171,000, you know, 99% Biden votes. So it's almost like insulting to your intelligence.
That's pretty good.
It's so obvious. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, you know, the power of any theory is its ability to make predictions. And the fact that these people had told me on October 20th, if this gets rigged, and they were worried about some sort of rig, but they thought it would be like they were going to steal this Senate seat or that congressional seat. No, when they did this thing with the six anchor cities, we all woke up knowing, okay, they've actually just rigged a national election.
And they rigged a lot of seats. According to the people I talked to, it wasn't just Trump's seat. It was a lot of seats.
Correct.
But who was the governor of Illinois who, Blagojevich or what's his name?
Blagojevich.
Yes. Blagojevich. He came on and he was talking. It was because it's been pretty known that they were doing that in Chicago for years. And he says that's exactly what they do. They'd shut it down. They fix it, and then lo and behold, somebody else wins. He goes, that's what I was trying to fix in Illinois when they took me down. He goes, but now what's happening is it happened everywhere. it's not everywhere, but in six places.
And the six special places, six places that any political scientist could tell you that due to the electoral system of the United States, these six cities, if you rig them, you rig the whole country. You know, that's why it was kind of a straw man argument when the establishment, I was a bit surprised at General Barr coming out and saying there was no widespread fraud. There doesn't have to be widespread fraud. Just has to be deep fraud in six cities and you can jack the country.
He knew that. He knows. He was purposely, Now, did you believe that the person who got you into it right away, 3 months ahead of time, he dies like the next day in a mysterious car accident. Did you take that
airplane accident? Yeah, it was very suspicious, the timing. But I did go and interview, I'm a pilot myself, and I went and interviewed somebody who was in the plane. And it sounds very much like the instructor made a bad mistake, got in a box canyon. So although I did hear sometime late fall, I did hear now the government has actually become suspicious of this case. So I don't know. But
when people magically die that are close to a situation that is of high importance, you know, I mean.
Well, did you see what happened in Georgia to that kid, that 20-year-old kid?
Yeah.
Do you know about that?
Well, I think you talked about it the last time. You want to refresh us on that?
Yeah, there was a kid who was actually a staff, a young man, evidently a very fine guy, who was both a staffer for Kelly Loeffler and dating the daughter of the governor. And he got involved in this, and the links are in the book that we're talking about, The Deep Rig. He got involved, and 3 days later, he got killed in a car accident in Georgia. And it's this very strange accident where the engine got blown 75 yards through the air. And all the movies of it, and most of the movies have been taken off the internet, but there are still some, they show like this fireball. Doesn't look like any car accident I ever saw. Anyone who sees it, I mean, it just burned and burned and burned. Didn't look like any car accident. And then the Georgia Bureau of Investigations got involved. And 3 days into the investigation, the lead investigator committed suicide.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, see? Yeah.
You know, and of course, that's all horrible and two deaths and one shouldn't. But
so
it
did
got
you
really
start?
Georgia's really corrupt.
Oh, yeah. Did you start questioning? I mean, did that start making you turn and get a little bit paranoid on your own safety? Or did you say, I don't care, this is important enough and I'm just going to plow forward?
both. And that, well, I've lived this way for 16 years now. I've kind of been involved in this fight for 16 years. Deep Capture is the website. I started taking on Wall Street. I don't know if you, but about 15 years ago, I was, you know about that fight?
I was kind well, of I read about, you know, before I interviewed you last time, I knew about it, you know, because you know about a lot of things when you're doing what I'm doing. But then I really read into it and kind of learned about it. And yeah, I can just imagine the stuff that you've run into.
Yeah, so I've kind of lived that way for years, but also lived knowing, you know, at the end of the day, if they want to ice you, they can ice you. And
yeah, I know. I understand.
You know, at this point, I think if they blow me up, I win, because then everything I've said gets validated, including a bunch of things I've said that people haven't really paid attention to yet.
Absolutely. All it will do is draw a ton of attention to your work, and it'll expose them even more. But let's talk about then how it progressed, because there is an amazing backstory as far as with Flynn and Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani. And then there's this person who you call Mediocrity. I want to know who that person is. I forgot to ask you before the show aired, because I'm not sure if you're going to let us know on air. But
no, I'm not. No good purpose would be served. But I thought I would mention, I mean, as I wrote the book, there was somebody who was involved in this, you know, who was so bad, and there's no reason I'm identifying the person. And it's a government person, career government. And I don't mean to, by doing that, to be like wagging my finger at all government employees. In fact, as a libertarian, you would think I hate government employees, but I actually learned a long time ago, government employees are actually, they're solid people. They're people that in general, if they were in the workforce, they'd be up there. You know, what I'm saying is you don't generally find duds. I generally have not experienced duds in the federal government. It's surprising as a libertarian. However, this person was a total dud and had a career in the government. And it's just shocking to me. So bad, we wondered if this person was actually an agent from the opposition trying to disrupt us from making progress. But there's no point in identifying who the person is. And I explained in this book, the, you know, we had this pretty much sorted out by Friday, November 6th. We had it pretty, maybe halfway sorted out. And I got in touch with the office. There was an office over in suburban Virginia that had the campaign and Rudy and Sidney Powell. And I was told, go see them. And I went and I found Sidney Powell very open-minded and intelligent and rational. And I have to say, I'm a big admirer of Rudy. But I think Rudy was not on his game, and I think the group, there were some good people around him lower down, some very good lawyers. I'll name a few. Victoria and Joe DeGeneva. I think she's the wife of Joe DeGeneva. I met both of them, and they're very able. There's another lawyer I won't mention, two more that were very good.
Jenna Ellis was always with him on air. Did you work with her at all?
I did not. I never met her. I guess I did meet her in passing a couple times, but she's not Mediocrity. People have wondered if that's who I'm referring to, and she's not.
She comes across as really great, but she was never there. That's weird. Why she was always on air and with them, but she wasn't there in the work group. Interesting.
I don't know if I met her in the work group. I thought I met her more in a social setting. But it was, I would say, very different than what I'd expected to find. And in general, law firms are not well managed. And I don't mean to dump on Rudy, but he was not up to taking this case. He's 76, and managing a complex national case is a lot anyway. Managing one that's about cyber, and this is a fellow who I don't think sends his own emails and such, was way beyond him. And he's doing a podcast every day. So I'm a little bit, his team was not good to deal with. I mean, they were doing things like, just to give you, they'd invite somebody I knew who had some information, they invited over and then had him sit in the waiting entrance for 4 hours till he finally gave up and he left. And they called him back an hour and a half later, no, you got to be here. And he comes back and he waited 15 minutes and then he gave up. It was a shit show, pardon me. It was just a shit show trying to work with them.
And they were, you think it was from incompetence, not from Anything else?
There are some people on the team that we wondered about. It was so bad working with them that we thought they could be agents of disruption. With Rudy, that's impossible for me to believe. But Rudy was not interested. He was adamant. He did not have a nose for the case. This is kind of a paradigm breaking. You know, this is not voter fraud. Voter fraud is when some voter cheats. And Joe Frazier, who died in 2011, he votes. Or an illegal visitor to our country votes. That's voter fraud. What we're talking about is election fraud, systemic fraud that is so much deeper than a handful of people or a couple hundred dead people voting in Philadelphia, which that's kind of where to the anyway, I'm giving you longer answers than you want. You want me to keep?
Well, no, I understand, because I did a little documentary right after this happened, and I talked about, you know, the states that they've already determined were flipped based on just using the user data, that the voting data that the media used to call the election. You could see what ones were flipped, and that would have changed the election to Trump, back to Trump, just with that. There are armies of people who are mathematicians and engineers and computer scientists and whatever that understand this. This isn't that much rocket science. And then you don't even have to be that smart. You just have to be common sense, who also understand it. So maybe it's paradigm changing, but there's whole generations of people that it's not, they've already had that paradigm shift. So they get it, and it's very scary, and it's a serious thing. And so our government here knows clearly what happened, and they aren't doing anything about it. You know that's
our government, remember, what did you say at the end, Sarah?
I said, I know you know that's true, because there's too many good people. You know, they have NSA, for crying out loud. They have cyber, you know, I don't know, whatever they call the cyber
command,
military.
Cyber.
Yeah.
Well, government, our federal government is not one thing. It's not homogenous. And my understanding is that there are now two camps within the government about this. I've also come to understand that it isn't that the government is filled up with social justice warriors, that like the Department of Justice isn't filled up with them. There's enough of them in leadership to make a difference. And it's 1,500 lawyers who just kind of like their job, as how it was described to me, just kind of like their job and want to go along. They don't want to lose their job. But there is at the top social justice warriors and people who just have no commitment to the rule of law. I mean, I know what's in the Durham report. As if you've been following my story, you know that I've explained that before. They could have come out with, I could have proven, it's been almost 2 years since I walked in and gave them everything. They could have proven that in 10 days. They could have had just the right people, interviewed them, have the whole case. If the Durham report doesn't come out with certain things, it's a whitewash.
Okay, let me ask you though, you said there was two camps. So two camps, what, people that know the truth and people that know the truth and want to cover it up? Or people that know the truth and too stupid, or people that don't know the truth because they're not smart enough, or they know the truth and don't care and are corrupt, and then the people who know the truth and want to do something. Those are the two camps. So one camp is like anti-American thugs who shouldn't be there for one reason or another, not smart enough, incompetent, or don't care, and then there's the other group. So what's really going on?
There's a group of agents, I understand, within the FBI and other agencies who are extremely concerned and fed up. And even to the point it was reported in the press that there was talk anyway of mass resignations rather than serve under a President Biden whom they had considered election, you know.
He's illegitimate. Yeah.
Illegitimate. And I don't know if that's true, but I know that it's been reported in the press that there's been those kinds of discussions within various government agencies. So there are some people, but whether or not they resign, it's important to know there are people in the federal government who see what's going on. You know, this could well all be, so first of all, it could well all be a psyop to take over the country. And then the question is, who's behind the psyop? Clearly elements.
Exactly.
The deep state is, but there's evidence that China's hand is behind this. So there's a lot of people in government who are concerned.
And they should be. This is very concerning because this is our country. I mean, this is, and how does it affect me and you and the average American and our families and our children? Now, when I read your book, I got to tell you, I was concerned the fact that, you know, why Donald Trump didn't have his finger on this. It seemed like that he was being very heavily handled and didn't see through it.
That's a great question. He had some people around him that I do not think were loyal. I was hearing by November 10, I was hearing that, so I was meeting all kinds of people in the White House and younger ones, staffers and such, and I was hearing that basically the leadership by November 10th was telling the juniors, just get the president to concede. If you're with him, just help us get him to concede. Mark Meadows was there by December 1st or December 10th, telling young staffers, we just got to get the president into transition mode. So while I saw with my face on December 18th, they're sitting there with him, acting like they're trying to help him work through his options, they actually wanted him, they wanted him gone. So he, you know, he's a bit of a softie.
Do you think it might be cognitive dissonance on his part that he can't believe that many people are, some people would have that issue. It would be hard. They act like they care and they don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so many people.
He knew it, but he didn't know it. It's funny. I don't understand it. I don't understand. There were people rude to him right there in front of us that I would have fired on the spot. And you know, he's 74 years old. I think he turned 75 yesterday. And he, sometimes older people get over attached to people around them. They're people who, you know what I mean? They just get over attached. They've lost a lot of friends by that point in life. They have a small number left. They don't want to lose those. So they don't want to do anything to lose those friends. So it would have been better, I believe, for Rudy Giuliani to be advising the president, but not to be the field marshal of this effort. He should have been George C. Marshall and not Eisenhower. And the truth is, Eisenhower should have been Sidney Powell or Michael Flynn. By the time we went in to see them, see, we didn't understand what was taking them so long, because we saw a 3-foot putt that would have cleared this all up. And did you read about that? Did you get that far in your readings, what I proposed?
What? Yeah, the readings, you were already past the meeting at the White House. That's why it was just so intriguing.
Well, yeah, we were trying to get them to say, under some executive orders that both Obama and Trump signed, there's enough evidence, and the president just has to find. He did not need to wait until D&I Radcliffe did anything. He could have just signed a piece of paper that said, I've seen enough evidence. I'm concerned about foreign involvement interfering in this election. And these six counties, we're going to send a federal force in. These machines have always been sold on the premise, look, there's always a fail-safe. The fail-safe is there's a paper ballot backup. So you never have to worry, there's always a fail-safe. Well, if there was ever a time to use that, now would have been the time. Send a federal force in. I favored the U.S. Marshals combined with the National Guard. They could have used FBI or DHS. There was some charm in having the National Guard, because at the end of the day, the thing we trust more than anyone are people in military uniforms, and we need to reestablish trust. Some people thought that's crossing the Rubicon. Who cares? But you could use DHS or FBI instead, and go to those six counties, open up the boxes, and count everything on live stream TV. Could have got the whole thing done in 2 or 3 days, and if it turns out there were not big irregularities, Mr. President, you resign gracefully. But if it turns out that you find 300, 500,000 vote irregularities in these counties, which we think you're going to, then that changes everything. And there's a whole new set of decisions that have to be made. That's all we were arguing for. And it was frustrating that the smoke and mirrors and the arguments that these guys around Trump were bringing were all real bureaucratic. They clearly just came from people who didn't want Trump to win.
Well, and the scary part is that we're watching a coup going on, right? I mean, obviously there's thousands of troops in Washington, D.C. with fence around it. That right now is just incredible to see Washington, D.C. like that. It's essentially in a camp. And then we're watching this COVID takeover of vaccines and the reset and all these things go on right now after this election. So people just don't know what to think right now.
Well, read my book. I walk through all these issues in my book. I don't mean to be here hog my book, but I was in the center of all of this. You saw the first four or five installments, it sounds like, that I wrote. I ended up writing 9 or 10, and in the days from January 20th to February 7th, and then I've used the last week or 10 days to take all those chapters, rewrite them, rearrange them, and turn them into a book, because I cover all of that in the book.
The last thing I read was when you were supposed to speak on January 6th, you and Michael Flynn were next to each other. You were both scheduled to speak, and they canceled your speaking on January 6th.
Yeah, and we wanted to speak and have, no one knew this issue better than Sydney, Mike, myself, and the scientists we were working with, computer scientists, other kinds of scientists, mathematicians. And we had two or three people who we thought were the right people. If all you did was let each of these scientists get up and speak for 5 minutes, I think 80% of people watching would have been convinced, okay, there's at least something really smells like skunk here and we got to investigate. And we thought that was what was going to happen. And then the night before, I heard from the scientists that, no, they're not coming. They've been told they're not speaking. And I thought, that's funny. Who's going to explain it? Hope they're not, you know. And these are guys like with beards. And they look like professors and they're very, scientists. One's a government scientist, a rocket scientist. And they're just very believable, thorough, careful guys. And, you know, each of them 5 or 10 minutes, and the whole nation would get what happened. Instead, we got there, we discovered we were both canceled as speakers. And so I say in this book, and I've said in some of the installments that you've read, I make clear I'm not an adoring fan of President Trump. I'm a libertarian. I did not vote for him. I did not vote for Mr. Trump, for that President Trump, either election. I got involved in this because it was election fraud. I would have done it if it happened, whoever.
Because it's important, right? It's bigger than any one person. This is important.
Yeah, this is the most fundamental aspect of our democracy.
Yes.
Of our is consent to the governed. You know, consent, that's what you learn in the first. There's authoritarian governments and there's consent to the governed. Governments that derive their power from our consent. Well, how do we know what it is to which we consent? We hold elections that are free, fair, and transparent. So this is the most atomic concept of our tradition. And if we let them get away with rigging it, the whole system, we're an authoritarian country. So this is a very deep.
Well, it's very serious.
Whatever else you care about in politics, you now care about election integrity more. Because I don't care if you care about abortion or gun rights.
Agree.
Or Israel or whatever. There's no point in caring about it if your vote doesn't count. So the only thing to care about until we get this fixed is election integrity. And I think we have one more bite at the apple. You got it? You see?
No, I agreed day one when I was talking to Dave Janda on the phone. And I said, Dave, because I was sending him the information that I had. And I said, nothing else matters. This is the only thing that matters. Our country's done if we can't fix this.
All right. So Chinese, I think that this is a Chinese psyop. Sorry to tell you, I love the Chinese. I speak Chinese. I spent years of my life. I used to tell people I consider myself a reincarnated Shaolin monk. But I'm really disturbed. I think that the Chinese in conjunction with the deep state, what really happened, I think, is our elites, you know that movie, that Daniel Day-Lewis movie where he's the oil man and he ends up shouting at the kid, I drank your milkshake. You remember that one? No. Well, I think that our elite.
No, I remember the movie. I don't remember that one scene, but go ahead.
There's this great scene where Daniel Day-Lewis is saying, I drank your milkshake. Anyway, I think the elites basically drank our milkshake as a country and have sucked us dry. And now the bill has come due and they're paying it by delivering us on a silver platter to the Chi-Coms.
I have a feeling you're right. I've heard that theory, and I hope you're wrong. I hope you're full of crap.
You and me both. You and me both. It's a hypothesis.
I know.
It's a hypothesis.
I know. Well, and I do believe the deep state is behind this, and the Chinese are willing participants because they want our resources.
Yeah, they want our farmland. Everybody wanted Trump gone. It's kind of funny. It's like that line in Apocalypse Now where at some point Captain Willard is saying, you know, everybody wanted him dead. The VC, the Americans, even the jungle wanted him gone. Like everybody in the establishment wanted Donald Trump gone.
Well, because he cared more. I mean, he was just a person that wasn't them. I mean, and I always said this too to other people. Anybody who actually cared, even if their politics are completely different than mine, if they actually cared about the country, would be better than these deep state people. And he was, it seemed like he was somebody that actually cared. So he was way better than the deep state people.
Yeah.
So now what are we missing? What did I miss in the other chapters? You said you kind of hinted at it. So what will people get past the snub that you had from speaking, you and Michael Flynn, where you just...
There's a lot more. There's a lot more that's not in the online version. I've added a lot of links and a lot of events. I just got tired of updating them in both places. What went on behind the scenes, what went on with Michael Pence, things like that. Online.
I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard a lot with Pence is really a deep stater and like hardcore deep stater. And he just played his role.
Pence is, well, it should tell you everything to know. At the end of the day, the reason Flynn lost his job was because Pence went to the president and said, I can't work with this man now that I think he lied to me. One of these holier than thou guys. So he's the one who really cost Flynn his job. And I came through this with unbelievable respect for Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn is the people's general. Michael Flynn is, you know, I've met all kinds of people in Washington. Michael Flynn cares about the Republic. He's not some guy worrying about his career. Flynn should also tell you something that Barack Obama on his way out told Trump the two most dangerous situations in the world are North Korea and Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn is a total threat to the deep state. He's an honest as the day is long guy who knows where all the bodies are buried. And that's why they had to get rid of him.
What does that tell you? When someone's a really big threat to the deep state, they're my friend.
Right? Well, that's Michael Flynn. I want Michael Flynn and Sidney Powell. I'll tell you right now. I want them to run for president, vice president. I think we got to start again. And I think that's...
We sure do.
You know, they don't. Not that they've agreed or done anything, but wince when I say that. Just to let you know.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, they know what that means.
People I trust back there.
They know what that means, and they've gotten a taste of it. And oh my God, if you're up there, will you be in the tar and feathering mode? Because this deep state is really deep, and they're very good at manipulating people with propaganda. And there are a lot of people in this country that are very easily manipulated, which is scary to see. Now, question for you. We are in a very dangerous time with all these shutdowns and this vaccine and the reset. And I know you covered it in your book, but I want to hear what you think and what your, maybe give some advice to people on what they should do, because this is a very scary time, and a lot of people feel that their lives are in danger.
Right. Well, first of all, you should have 30 days of food in your home. So if you really get to the point of we get some sort of, if it gets worse than it is now, that's one thing. Another thing, having some savings, if you have some savings, that you can turn into silver coins. You know, I'm not saying go out and invest because it's going to go up 10 times over, but silver is gold is gold, but silver is, if there is a financial crash, silver will become very immediately, if there's a silver will become currency, be useful as currency. Of course, you got to be armed. You got to be armed. You're nuts if you're living in this country and you're not prepared.
Agree. Unfortunately.
And have a place to go. What's going to happen? See, I think we're very vulnerable to all kinds of attacks. This could be the beginning of, look what happened just after the election, the whole SolarWinds attack, the biggest cyber crunch on us probably in history. Started like the next day or a couple days later. We do not go violent. We have to be better than the other guys. Look what happened. I'm sorry I did not say this more. Every time that I talked about the January 6th thing in advance, I did some radio interviews and stuff. I told people we do not go violent. We're better than the other side. We don't bring goonism to politics. We really have to remember that. Let me tell a story to your viewers, please. I was in Moldova a few years ago, and I was talking to someone there who told me this story. That in, I think it was 09, there had been a rigged election, and a pro-Russian, pro-Putin guy had been elected. And everybody knew it was rigged, and they went out to protest. Putin sent goons to Moldova, and they came in on buses and hitchhiking and on railroad. And they would live in the parks and such. Didn't take many of them. But every time a protest formed, like against the government, these people would go and infiltrate the group. And then they try to get the group to throw bricks in the government windows and to break the windows and this and that. Because they knew, well, but the Moldovans resisted this because they understood that it's really a fight in that situation for the middle class and the bulk of your country. And the bulk of that country was suspicious about the election. But if the protesters had started and was backing them, but if the protesters had started smashing government offices, middle class just kind of says, no, that's not for me. And they back away. But the Moldovans exercised discipline. They did not let these agitators, or what the term is, agent provocateur, did not let them instigate smashing government windows and such. As a result, they did get another election held, and the Putin guy lost in a landslide. So look at what was going on January 6th. Up to January 6th, I feel like the bulk of America was on our side and recognizing that there was something really crazy here that couldn't be accepted. Once our side stormed the Capitol, although asterisk, we know that there's quite a few questions about that.
Well, and if you listen to what Sund, the D.C. police chief said, the Capitol police chief said, he said that he had intel that Antifa and Proud Boys, there were extreme groups that were going to come and be violent. And then he saw 1,000, he said, people that were dressed in black, that had ear comms and were very well organized. That's not the MAGA mom and dad coming to support the, you know, the middle America supporting. But then I think it was planned. And then I think they used it, our propaganda media and the deep state used the hell out of it to do what they would have done in Moldova. But they, you know, I think they planned the whole damn thing, the whole script. That's my opinion based on everything I've read. And now that the chief came out. Go ahead.
My book goes into all that. So that's all been added. So I hope you take a look
at excellent.
It.
Oh, excellent. With Sund, with the chief and everything?
Yeah. The deep rig.
Perfect.
It goes into that. And it has all kinds of videos. I just have a bunch of the videos that show, shoot, you see guys in black changing into MAGA gear in a bush 50 yards from the Capitol. And somebody's walking by and films it on camera and says, there are these Antifa guys changing into, you know, MAGA clothing. What's going on?
Yeah. And then they have the Wallace guy or Sullivan guy with the MAGA hat on. And then they have, they also got proof now, and maybe this is in your book, of the receipts and the payments. NBC, was it NBC? And it was CNN and then one of the other big ones. I thought it was NBC and one of the big ones. Paid Sullivan $35,000 each to get the footage. CNN, but there's two of them, CNN and another one. And to get the footage in the Capitol.
Well, did they pay him before the events of the Capitol or after he went in and filmed it?
Well, I got to look at the date. That is a good question because I got to look at the date of the receipts. But
date is January 6th.
However, no, the date of the
there's an
date
Australia
of the receipt. Go ahead.
Please go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know of the date of the receipt of the payment. That's what I'd have to see.
I've seen the agreement this morning. It's online. It was sent to me. I assume it's online. And it's dated January 6th. But one of the people involved is Australian. And it rated Australia January 6th is January 5th year. So was that contract written up and he took it as an assignment to go in and take part, which means it's all prior planned? Or did he go in and take part and be part of agitating, it looks like, film it all, then come out and run to CNN and say, hey, I'll take 35 grand for this video, which is, it's one thing, but it doesn't tell us that there was advanced.
There is a difference. But Australia being a day ahead is an interesting concept too.
Yeah, it depends on who wrote that or when it was signed. Was it signed in front or in back? But it clearly, you know, Sullivan, who's an Antifa, I happen to be about 8 miles from where Sullivan lives. He's an Antifa BLM guy. And, you know, what's he? I think there was a lot of that. And of course, the police seem to have acted on funny orders. There are these orders where the police actually invite people in.
Yes. They're like, they're moving them along. What is that?
It's, you know, Angela Merkel did something like this. You should look this up. I should look it up myself. Maybe a year or two ago, she was really falling in disfavor. Her lefty stuff was really falling. There started to be a serious conservative movement. And she, in some place, not in Berlin, maybe Bavaria or somewhere in the south, she let something like this happen. She led a protest. It looked like she deliberately turned it into like invite that these people were invited into government buildings, and they said, and they turned it into this bad thing. And she came out immediately afterwards with these fascistic laws that let her oppress conservatives now under the grounds of she's stopping extremism. This looks like the same playbook. However, that's not to say that the MAGA crowd doesn't have, you know, I don't mean to scold, but you should not look how dumb it was. About 400 people got fooled into going in and taking part of that. And it cost us a great deal of support around America in our election fraud efforts, because Americans took that as a huge, you know, that's a sacred thing. So shame on you, MAGA guys, who let yourselves get carried away and take part in that just because possibly some Antifa guys lured you into it, or some police lured you into it. You got tricked.
Useful idiots. You allowed yourself to be a useful idiot because it was a good cause that you believed in. You ended up being a useful idiot. And yeah. You can't allow yourself to be that because the stakes are too high.
What if they had shown discipline and refused to let that happen? There's videos there where they try to stop the people. They're shouting Antifa and they're trying to stop the people. Yeah, so I have all these videos up on my website about it.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay, now I've got to ask you, where could...
The book has a bunch of embedded videos. So it's an e-book, so you can read it in your Kindle or read it on your iPad, and there's all these embedded videos. It's a one-stop shop.
Where can people get your book? That's the big question.
It's up live now on a number. I don't want to say any websites, but it's on. It's up live now on Amazon and other websites that carry e-books. So if it gets taken down in one, there's about 20 others that are carrying it.
It's going to be all over the place. That wherever fine books or e-books are sold, you're going to have it everywhere.
The Deep Rig. I'll give you the full title. The Deep Rig, How Election Fraud Cost Donald Trump the White House by a Man Who Did Not Vote for Him. And then the subtitle is, or What to Send Your Friends When They Ask, Why Do You Doubt the Integrity of Election 2020? So for all those Americans out there who smell skunk and know there was something wrong, but you're tired of your family, you know, gaslighting you, and why do you think there was, you have a $4.95 book you can just send them. And if they read it, it explains how I got into it and how my eyes got opened step by step, kind of day by day or week by week, and the evidence that came in and how I got open to it.
It was incredible to read. They could do an amazing movie off this, and it would be, if somebody good did it, it could be an Academy Award winner. I mean, it is amazing. I don't usually get sucked into books. I got to tell you, you know, I read, but I felt like I was watching a good movie. So it was very, very good. Okay. So will you stick around for my members?
Sure.